There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, let's do it. Here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Monday. Glad to have you along for the ride here. Next couple hours, lots of ways to get in touch with us. Most popular Mallory Piping text line at 343-0106. If you're new to the area, that's 251. We're in the 251 here. 251-343-0106 for the Mallory Piping text line. Also gets you through for a good old-fashioned telephone call. And if you have the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can use that microphone icon you see on the front page. That feature lets you press that, record a message, emails it to the show. I can play it back here on the show as well. So check those out, plus a good old-fashioned emails and all that kind of stuff out there. All right. As we get started here, too, I did a little rough math. I bring our guest on here, and he's not prepared for this at all, which he's used to with me. So they said 40,000 for the boots in my sand. I don't even know what it's called anymore because I've made up all the different names to annoy my teenage daughter. The Sandy Boots Festival that took over from the Hangout Music Festival down at Gulf Shores had, I think one of the stories I saw, 40,000 people there. Let's say, and I did this experiment, which I have this number I pulled out of thin air. Dalton thinks it could be more, but let's say each person, because the tickets ranged in prices, you had VIP stuff, crazy stuff, like $5,000-$6,000. Regular prices, $200, I think. Let's say each person's averaged out spending $500 at that event. Y'all get the calculator there if you got to on your phone and just come up with that number. They did good. Maybe we should get in the... I don't know. Hey, Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News and Capital Journal joining me. Maybe we just get rid of all this and you and I start putting on music festivals. I mean, 40,000 people at about $500, which Dalton thinks is probably more like $750, $800. You got to pay Post Malone and all these people, but you got to make some change on this thing. That sounds like a lot of jingle.
Well, yeah, they wouldn't do it if it wasn't a financial incentive. I didn't know that they had changed the name. I went to the very first Hangout Fest. I guess that was 2010. Mm-hmm. And 2009 or 2010. I think it was somewhere in there. And I mean, it obviously grew and grew and grew, but I'm an old man now, so don't really care for large festival crowds and everything. But I didn't know that they had changed it. I guess that was all agreed to.
It was something like this last year. Morgan Wallen took it over. I say last year because it's the last year of the contract. We'll see if they renew. But it was this year, it was not Hangout. It was Boots in the Sand or Sandy Boots or Sand in My Boots or whatever it was. I'm looking at it just as a business person. Of course, they're not going to do something that's not going to make money. But I just think there's big money to be made in it. It's probably a super headache to put something like that on, but I think I think the ROI is there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal. You got to buy your ticket. I remember those being pretty pricey even for the very beginnings of Hangout Fest.
And they kept going up.
And then you got to buy a hotel room somewhere down there, mm-hmm. Somewhere to stay. I would imagine the vast majority of people are drinking a pretty good bit. Mm-hmm. So, and then they've got food. So, yeah, 500 is, you don't have a, that's easy. That may be a low ball in it.
Yeah, so even at low ball in it, the money looks good. I was going to segue straight into this state audit story about the Alabama Music Hall of Fame because it makes sense. But I'll come back to that because I do want to get your take on the big, beautiful bill here. I know you lead the email with it this morning. Trump's bill, big bill advances in a rare weekend vote, but conservatives demand more changes. You know, I've been digging, man, trying to find like a breakdown, light on a breakdown on this, and I haven't been able to find it. But I hear a bunch of like... things that seem like spending in it, you know, you spend and you cut taxes. It usually doesn't work out, the math.
Yeah, good luck finding that breakdown. I mean, you're talking about a multi-trillion dollar piece of legislation in, for the entire gamut of the federal government. So I don't know if one exists, but I haven't seen it. But I mean, look, it's good, I suppose, that they finally got the budget reconciliation bill through committee. That's a huge step. But I don't think anybody is under some kind of false impression that this is going to be the end-all and do-all bill. This is, and I don't understand, like, you know, conservatives are saying, hey, this doesn't go far enough. But the interesting thing about that is this is the most conservative that this bill is ever going to be. It's not like the Senate is going to increase the amount of cuts, move up the cuts for Medicaid and all that kind of stuff. They're not. If anything, it will, you know, some of those conservative things will be eroded. Not to say that's a bad thing. I think you just got to kind of rock in a hard place here. Everybody wants the tax cuts, and they also want spending cuts to kind of pay for those. But if you go too far, you really are risking, I think they already are risking, you know, Congress changing hands next year. And that brings all kinds of political trouble for the White House. And so they're not stupid. The White House, they understand all this. They don't want it to be some kind of piece of legislation that just slashes and burns. You've already seen some of, you know, you saw a big slowdown of the Doge thing, right, after some of that started getting uncomfortable politically for the White House. So it's same thing here. They don't want Democrats to be running the House next year, because that would mean impeachment and all kinds of investigations and all that kind of stuff. So there's a political reality here of, look, just how far you can go, understanding you want it to actually pay for the tax cuts as much as possible. But again, so you're just two different kind of competing goals here on the president's part and on the, you know, Freedom Caucus-ish people in Congress.
And this is, it makes me unpopular with both sides, which is normal, about cutting taxes while raising spending. I mean, it just doesn't work. And then I look at something like what happened last week with Moody's out there. We're losing the AAA credit rating. And I remind folks here to look at the city of Mobile when Mayor Stimson took over and we had, you know, not a great credit rating and it was a threat of dropping further. Doing things to shore that up, to bring the credit rating back up, what it does to interest on the loans. I know I'm a one-trick pony on this stuff at a federal, municipal, and state level, but this is where money, for taxpayer money to be going to finance further and further debt service, and then to have a credit rating drop and have your rates go up. I mean, that's real money.
It is, and this is not a this-year problem. This is a this-century problem, really, because in both parties are guilty. Nobody really, since I'd say the, you know, Bush and Clinton presidencies, really cared so much about what the debt and deficit were doing to the country. And so, yeah, you get to a point now where we're, you know, $35-36 trillion in debt. I mean, that's just, it's almost just laughable money, you know, the way that works. And you mentioned debt service. We pay more each year on interest on the debt than we do for national defense, for the military. Yep. How crazy is that?
That's dumb.
It's like, you know, how Rome burns. And so it's a real problem. And the spending cuts that they, like the Doge thing and the spending cuts that they're talking about, for the most part, don't even scratch the surface. Unless you get into entitlement spending, unless you get into Medicare most, you know, prominently, Social Security's there too, but Medicare's the big one. That's one with Part D of the prescription drug plan. That's where the money's going. And nobody seems willing to rein it all in because, again, it's politically unpopular. You're going to tell a bunch of folks over 65 that their health care is getting trimmed a little bit? No, nobody wants to do that. Those are the people who vote. So it's just a big political problem because we don't have adults running Washington, and that's the way it is.
Okay, speaking of Washington as well, your perspective, somebody who worked at the executive branch level here in the state, but also worked in Washington, my reaction to the Joe Biden prostate cancer story when I heard it over the weekend was, how did they not see that coming? I mean, I'm of the age now. I go in and you have physicals and they take your PSA or whatever and show you, how you are for prostate cancer. This is the former president of the United States who I believe gets checked out a whole bunch. How did they not see this? How did they get that far without anybody saying, hey, you've got this and we need to treat it?
Right. That's what I mean. How does an 80-year-old president of the United States, not have regular PSA checks, right? Not have regular health checks that include a blood cancer test. I mean, you would do that for a lot younger and a lot less important person, right? Mm-hmm. This is the president. So I can't believe that wasn't a part of it. But, and that's the thing. If the cover-up over his cognitive decline had never happened, had that not been a thing, and then maybe there would be a little more grace going around about like, okay, well, maybe he didn't know. But they so clearly covered that up. They so clearly not just covered it up, but they would attack anybody, and a lot of the media too would attack anybody that dared to question what they see with their own eyes. So because of that, I think that's why you've got a lot of people saying, what? How in the world? Does this guy just never go to the doctor? How does that possibly happen? And so their mendacity to begin with for over 2 years is now causing people to question this, which is unfortunate because guy's got cancer.
Yeah, it's
pretty
a bad
aggressive
thing.
Form of yeah. it. It's you hate to see that, but that's why, because they were dishonest to begin with.
All right, before we wrap up, and I mentioned it a second ago. So, as we look at stories for the state of Alabama where money may not be allocated properly, dancing around this, if you made me make my list of places I thought this would hit, the Alabama Music Hall of Fame wouldn't have come up in my top 100 list here, but y'all's story and Mary Sell's story today got my attention that state audit finds lengthy list of issues with Alabama Music Hall of Fame.
Yeah, so, this comes from the Examiners of Public Accounts. So they are the accountants for the state, and they go in and examine on a regular basis. They do audits. So that's maybe the more appropriate term. They do audits for all kinds of state agencies, and if your books don't match up, you're in trouble. So this amounted to the Sandra Burroughs, who is the, the executive director of that museum, which is a great museum up there in Tuscumbia, by the way, was ordered to repay $114,000 because basically she misspent it. I mean, the way the story reads.
I mean, it's like, what is it? How much was it for like dining and stuff? Like, it was crazy.
Oh, yeah, it was all, basically, there was a credit card. So there were just in. Last year alone, there were 242 credit card transactions totaling $36,000. The year before that, in 2023, there were 334 transactions with $76,000. So basically, she was using this public entity and this foundation as her personal credit card. And so I think it's pretty clear that this person is going to be no longer the executive director of the museum, but might also get prosecuted because this has been referred to the Attorney General's office. And we had some background conversations with those who do this kind of work. They say this is one of the worst they've seen. I mean, you've had some grifting in the past, but this amount of money for a pretty small state entity is pretty jaw-dropping.
Yeah, how does somebody arrive at that position, being named the from the executive branch? How do you get to be head of the Music Hall of Fame?
They have a board that's appointed, like most boards are. In fact, lawmakers and others, it's a really nice board to be on, right? Because you get to go to some of those cool events featuring all kinds of musicians. So of all the boards in Alabama, we know there are hundreds, this one's a good get. So the board will select the executive director. I don't know this person. I don't think we've ever met. But I think it's pretty clear to say she's not going to be the director anymore. This is why we publish these things. This is why Mary spend so much time looking through public documents, because this wasn't a press release. It wasn't like examiners were trying to make news out of this. She dug into it, and this is why we do it, because it ought to be there's some transparency here. Shining a little sunshine on a otherwise obscure part of state government.
Well, and also when y'all go read this over at Alabama Daily News, you'll get to see what Todd and I've been talking about. Go through the line items of this and just kind of sit there and go, oh, my gosh.
It's the audacity.
Yeah.
The audacity is hilarious. That's, pretty bold.
Okay, people can, of course, check that out by going straight to the website, but also getting signed up for the email. How do they do that?
It's really easy. Just go to aldailynews.com, enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list. And while you're there, go ahead and watch our last episode of the session for Capital Journal. Had State Senator Garland Gudger on. He's the leader of the Senate, President Pro Tem. Had a good conversation with him. Also ran through a lot of the education bills that made it through the legislature this year. Some kind of under the radar. So it's a good episode of Capital Journal. If you just kind of want to bookend to your session, you can watch that online at YouTube.
Good stuff, Todd. I appreciate it, man. And when I figure out what music festival you and I are going to start, I'll let you know, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, there he goes, Tom Stacey, and we'll be right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:25 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And let me check a couple of these texts here from the Mallory Piping text line. Also, we'll get to a story out of Florida. We've got so much to get to. All right, this text. Oh, talking about former President Biden. This texture says, "Hey, Sean, Dr. Jill is a narcissist. She is mad that Joe can't make $300,000 a speech. She's a sick chick." Oh, that's from CA. All right, thank you, CA. This texture says, "PSA would have been elevated, no brainer, cover up all the way. No way an 80-year-old man did not get PSA was done, and again, we've been lied to." But that was my initial reaction, too. I sit with a group of people that will say, not as politically conservative as I am. And I said, I've been trained up. I said, well, that stinks. I hate that to hear that for a person. I've had that in, extended family and watched what that did. But I don't understand how, I just stopped them. They were all saying, oh, I said, but how did we not hear about this? Here I'm at 52, and I've gotten the test, which, by the way, is good. A good test. The best test. There's never been a PSA test like this. Mine is perfect. A good test, but I'm thinking at that age, they're talking about how advanced it is. So, And Jeff mentioned it for a second when we were handing off at the end of his show. Why are people talking about it? Well, it's a former president, but I think it does. Dalton was talking about it this morning. I mean, the politics of it are out there. I am deferential to the fact that it's a human being, But why would you release that? Why would you release that information that he has it right now? Are you so ignorant, or do you think the people are so ignorant that they're not asking the questions we're all asking out there? Why would you think that's not where our minds would go on this? It leaves me scratching my head. This just came up. I got the story from Fox 10 TV. Happened this morning. Governor DeSantis over in Florida held a press conference this morning to discuss his signing of the Voter Freedom Act. Remember, we talked about this a little bit, and with what Sheriff Birch has been talking about, releasing here information for the rights of voters in Alabama. Well, in Florida. Now, this would have never, would this have been able to get in front of the shark alert bill? I don't know. But in Florida, they got it through. Senate Bill 1388 said ending random vessel safety inspections, including the ability to board a vessel without probable cause, preventing local governments from prohibiting the sale of gas boats. Issuing safety decals upon request that exhibit a vessel's compliance with safety requirements for 5 years. And then Yeah, so that they're doing that. So Governor DeSantis is signing this Voter Freedom Act in Florida. So this is happening in Florida. Does this make its way to other states? It's interesting. It's not a whole huge story, and it's a Florida deal, not us. But maybe brings up some discussion here. You would get this was interesting. You get a safety decal upon request that exhibits a vessel's compliance with safety requirements for 5 years. So I guess, you go in, do the inspection, I'm guessing here, or they come to you, shows you have everything, and then that gives you a green light for 5 years, and then you do it again. It's interesting. This one, which has been the discussion in Alabama, ending random vessel safety inspections, including the ability to board a vessel without probable cause. So that's what they're doing, the governor signing off on in Florida. Now, would we have a chance to do that here in Alabama? Any of you members of the legislature that are listening now that you're in the summer season and thinking about what you're going to do next year, right? Did this get you, get you a pat on the back? At a girl, at a boy out there, just think about that. Look at what they're doing in Florida. And like I've often said, you could just copy what they do in other states if it's working well. Speaking of boating, though, you got the Mexican Navy's tall ship hitting the Brooklyn Bridge. Looks like you got two dead there, 19 others injured. But no real damage to the Brooklyn Bridge, which they probably made out of the same concrete they made the entrance to the Bankhead Tunnel out of. So take a lick at it and keep on ticking. I guess we'll get to that when we come back right here on Midday Mobile. News coming up right now.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday. Good time to check in with my buddy Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Getting the week started, and I guess first up, Ron, precious metals, what are they looking like on a Monday?
Looking pretty good. Gold and silver are both up on the day, climbing. A lot of profit taken on Fridays, which is usual. Fridays tend to be a profit-taking day, and Mondays and Tuesdays, the investors reinvest their money. So everything, even platinum, palladium are up on the day. So things are looking good on the bullion markets, which, I mean, not a bad economic indicator, but it's one of those things that's slowly climbing, meaning there's a lot of uncertainty in the markets with the tariffs, although that looks like it's has a bright side to it. But things are still looking a little funky out there, and people are a lot more of the larger financial institutions are using gold and silver as a hedge for their portfolios.
What about in just folks coming in buying? What different, like, people think, okay, gold and the price obviously is up. I may not be able to buy a whole gold bar from you. I mean, what denominations can we get gold in?
You can start anywhere from 1/20th of an ounce all the way up to 100 gram bar is the largest we stock, only because larger than that, they're harder to authenticate and make sure they're real. It's hard to x-ray all the way through them. So, I mean, and really, if anything over that, it's hard to sell, too, if you go to your you travel to a small town and you have a 5 ounce gold bar with you, you try to sell it, it's going to be hard to sell. It doesn't transact as easy as a 1 ounce up to 100 grams. So, I mean, that's been the most popular, but we do have, I mean, sales on 1/10 ounce, I mean, are pretty brisk, and quarter ounce. We have a lot of people buying the smaller denominations. And then, of course, as they save up 4 quarter ounces or 10/10s, they can trade for a 1 ounce as they like and actually get a return on their money, because everything's relative. You pay more for the smaller denominations than you do the larger ones. And, of course, when we buy them, we have to pay more, too, so we'll pay the public more for those items.
Very good. Well, people, if they're selling or buying, tell them how to find you.
We're located at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. They can find us on the web at mobilebaycoins.com or give us a call, 251-725-1590.
Hey, thanks, Ron.
You're welcome, Sean.
All right, there goes Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Right, let me grab some of these texts here from the Mallory Piping text line. Okay, Joe says, I'm not a doctor, but I understand this very slow-growing cancer had to be known prior to even running in 2020. Brian said, our text here, I had advanced prostate cancer and my PSA wasn't elevated. I'm all good now. That's very interesting, good, and I'm happy you're good. But you didn't have, see, I'm learning here, you did not have a elevated PSA, which now scares the heck out of me, Brian, right? Because when I got my report back, I'm like, well, that's at least one thing I don't have to worry about. Physicians out there, lay it on me. Can you have a does the PSA test miss this ever? Sounds like it did in Brian's case. This texter says, I plan on requesting my state representative to introduce the same type bill, probably meaning the voters' rights bill that Florida had. Come on. So do that and request it. But this seems like you want to have a popular bill out there. You know, I mean, there's members of the legislature that, like to have a popular bill. I think most of them. I mean, this one, I think, would be one of those. Let's see. Michael says Alabama will only pass a voters' rights bill after every other red state does, just like every other issue that Alabamians want. Mike said, Sean, that's how Alabama is failing in everything. They have no idea about copying a good student. Thank you, Mike. You and I understand each other, right? When it came to things like the medical marijuana, I got an idea. Florida had been doing it for a while and been successful. Once you do what they're doing, said, okay, they've been doing it this way and it's working. Let's try that. And if we want to down the road tweak it, that's fine. But no, we had to do it a completely different way. C.B. Carl said, I may have missed you talking about it, but did you see the story of the guy over in Florida saving the little girl caught in a riptide with his drone? I did see that over the weekend. What a cool story. If I should find it, and here we go, try to put this up on our X feed at FM Talk 1065. It was Andrew Smith. So this is from the Daily Mail, let me see if I can get it from, let's go, how about WEAR TV, right? Let's go Pensacola straight up. There we go. The headline here leaves me scratch. Back to what I think it was. What was it that Mike had said about copying ideas? Maybe they're going to do that, because the headline here from WEAR in Pensacola said, drone rescue at Pensacola Beach prompts Escambia officials to explore new life-saving tools. I mean, this technology has been out there. But the story here that is referenced, if you didn't hear it ever or see it over the weekend, a drone rescue. Drone rescue has been catching the eye of some public safety officials. As we reported over the weekend, a shark fisherman used his drone to drop a flotation device to a girl who was struggling in a rip current. The incident is prompting public safety officials look into adding this procedure into their own arsenal. Yeah, you think that they would. It's not like the drone thing is new here. That seems like a great way to do it. Because one of the things, any of y'all that took whether you did a life-saving bear badge in scouts or took the course, the danger, right, is going to the assistance of that person drowning and have them pull you under as well, right? It's one of the things they kind of teach you and all that. In this case, you could get the flotation device to the person without risking, somebody swimming out to them. Says, further in the story, Pensacola shark fisherman Andrew Smith said, I was shaking pretty badly. It was nerve-wracking. I almost cried. Yeah, I can imagine. And good for you, by the way. Once again, if you know Andrew Smith, good for you, my man. I said, Smith talked about the panic moments as he tried to help save someone's life using his drone to carry a flotation device to a teenager battling a rip current on Pensacola Beach. Smith said, I lowered it until you could see her hands grab it, and then I lowered it a little bit more and I released it. She climbed on and started floating. Now that story has, end quote, and now the story has traveled across the country. It turns out Escambia County public safety officials have already started researching how they could do this too. Escambia County Public Safety Medical Director Dr. Benjamin Abo said, there's definitely a possibility and we're looking at it. We have to have as many tools in the toolbox, but the tools need to be resourceful. They need to have a use, and the tools can't become more of a liability than a reliability, end quote. Dr. Abo says they already use drones for a variety of reasons, but there's a lot that goes into the decisions. So yeah, I tell you what, I'll put this story up over on the X feed for FM Talk 106.5 if you want to check it out. But thank you, C.B. Carl. I did see that over the weekend. What a feel-good story. And just using technology that's out there. There's all kind of good things that drones are doing. Now we had a huge drone attack from Putin. This is great. And before they go to the... isn't it today sometime, if it hadn't already happened, President Trump having phone calls with Putin and Zelensky? But yeah, over the, I guess over the weekend here, Friday, Saturday, or maybe Saturday, Sunday, Russian forces conducted the largest single drone strike of the war against Ukraine in disregard of President Donald Trump's calls for Russia to stop long-range strikes against Ukraine. Said Ukrainian Air Force reported that the Russian forces launched 273 Shahed and decoy drones from the directions of Bryansk, Kursk, or Royal cities. It goes down the list here. Now, Ukrainians were reporting they shot down 88 drones. I mean, who knows what the real number is. But there you go. Drones get used for good stuff, too, out there. So let's encourage that. I mean, some of the amazing things they do for, like power line inspections. But, you know, our business, you're listening to us through a very tall tower that has our big six-bay antenna on top of it. The old days, you always had to climb, right, to do inspections. And they still have to climb some, but you had to climb these towers, which is dangerous work. To do the inspections, now they can do a lot of that with a drone. So it's pretty cool stuff. Jerry says maybe the shark warning system would help. Yeah. Notice the rip current, Jerry, is what was getting the girl, not the shark, right? They're off Pensacola Beach. Speaking of warnings, too, I saw the also over the weekend, the I don't know who had this, who first reported it. Here it is from Fox 10. Spanish Fort PD urges residents to be careful following bear sightings. Yeah, we've talked about that at length, done long shows here on the station about this time of year. Yeah, we got bears full time, but there's a little shifting around in the populations with young male bears this time of year. So there's a chance you'll see one this time of year when you won't see it other times of year in certain areas. So maybe, Jerry, do we get a bear warning system at the same time? Spanish Fort, people's phones in Spanish Fort would be going berserk. Let's see if that works. B-Dark says they're flying drones now. What happens if they start walking around being police? They're flying drones now. What happens if they start? I don't know. I mean, in this case, it was just using life-saving technology. I thought that was a pretty good. I mean, using technology to save somebody's life, to take a raft out to somebody. I thought that was a very good thing. So I tell you what, coming up next hour, mayor of my favorite place on the coast, Dolphin Island, Mayor Collier is going to come in. I wonder if they've talked about using them down there. Let's see. Speaking on the water, the headline I read right before we went to the news, Coast Guard rejects Schumer's claim that Doge contributed to the fatal Brooklyn Bridge crash. What do you expect? So a story from Fox. It says Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer suggested that the Department of Government Efficiency may be at least partially responsible for the Mexican Navy tall ship crashing into the Brooklyn Bridge on Saturday night. Okay, Coast Guard's come back and said no, that had nothing to do with it. So, but there you go, Chuck Schumer. All right, 12:46, head to the news. Be right back. More Midday Mobile, 343-0106 for a phone call or a text to the Mallory Piping text line.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:51, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Monday. Time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. New week. Let's talk inventory to start it off, David. What's it looking like on the lot?
Inventory's good. It looks like we're probably going shopping again first of next week. We've got, a ton of trucks, two-wheel drive, four-wheel drives, V8s, EcoBoost, V6 Ram trucks, crew cabs, extended cabs, a lot of good-looking trucks, and which we always have trucks. But the small SUVs and the sedans, we've got some really unique stuff in that area. But let's talk a little bit about the schedule. This is graduation week. I live over in Baldwin County, and Larry Kirby'd have a heart attack if he heard what I was fixing to do, because if we're still partners, he'd go nuts. We're going to close today about 3:30 because James is my manager. He runs the show for me when I'm not there. His son Grant's graduating from Spanish Fort today, and then my son Brantley's graduating Wednesday from Daphne. And we're having a big party for Brantley today, so we're going to get out of there today about 4 o'clock, and then we'll be back normal hours and have at it. But that's where we'll be if you go by there. We're not hiding from anybody. We just got things to do that's family-oriented.
Kids graduating. Yeah, I love that. I mean, that's like we talk about local businesses and, you know, the people that run the business, that own the business are right there. So graduation's a good reason. I get it, man. I think that is a tip of the hat, actually, to you. Well done.
Well, I miss so many things in my career, and Jennifer and I look at things and we see that, you know, and we just think, you know, if we miss one deal, I hate it. But if we've really got a customer that wants to buy a car from us, you know, we're not going to miss them because we're doing something with our kids. So that's just not going to happen. So we're comfortable with the decisions we make, and hoping and wishing all the graduates this year at every school, Mobile and Baldwin County, great success for their future.
Well said. And hey, parents out there, you know, there's a pretty darn good graduation gift out there. There's probably quite a few of them sitting on the lot right now.
Oh, there are. We got a bunch of vehicles. I've got a lot of great college cars. I mean, we've got some vehicles out there that'll make gas. So they're getting 30, 40 miles a gallon. So come by and check us out. And we'd love to have the opportunity to serve you and your kids. And hopefully your kids will turn into a customer just like you have.
Absolutely. Tell them how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call directly at 251-375-0068. Go to the website. It's lcmmotorcars.com. You can text from the website. You can go on there and fill out a customer statement, and we can go ahead and get started on your finance and put notes in there and tell us, you know, anything you need us to know, and we'll be glad and more than happy to help you.
Good stuff. We will talk. We'll talk later in the week and tell Brantley I said congratulations.
Will do. Thank you, Sean.
All right. There goes David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. Let me mention this. We'll go to the text line here. But tonight, too, it's a new show on FM Talk 106.5, 8 o'clock tonight. So that is the car show for the longest time here at FM Talk 106.5 with my friend Tom Claxton and Kevin Raywinkle. And that show is been paused. When I say go away, what do they do with political campaigns? They say, well, we're pausing our campaign right now. It's been paused, but starting and debuting tonight, another one of my friends, and it's really cool to have buddies on doing shows, John Young. So the show is called Tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile, John Young. Debuts tonight at 8 o'clock. Y'all love John when he's on the show as a guest or he fills in for me like he did last week. Well, he's got his own show once a week, Monday nights at 8. So do put that if you need to put a, if you're like me, you might forget something, you put it in your phone and just put a hey, remember, be listening to the debut episode of Tonight in Mobile with John Young. Once again, 8 o'clock tonight right here at FM Talk 106.5. So welcoming aboard yet another voice, you know, 56 hours a week of live local shows, tons of different voices here from people that are from here, John being one of them. And it's going to be great to hear my buddy on doing his own show. Starts tonight at 8 o'clock. So put that in the to-do list. And congratulations. And what do we say in the bit? Break a leg. John, break a leg. All right. To the Mallory Piping text line here. Back to the drone system. Or let's see here. The warning system. IT Jesus said, can we get a snowbird warning system? Do you want your phone going off all the time, IT Jesus? Do you really? Brandon said Schumer was also said the Doge cuts are the reason the tornado killed 20 people. Yeah, of course, he's going to take that. And yeah, somebody had texted me, by the way, Brooklyn Bridge made out of metal. I get it. I'm still amazed that the Bankhead Tunnel takes a licking that it does getting hit by trucks. So the Brooklyn Bridge, I mean, when you heard that, at least when I did, when I first heard the story over the weekend that tall ship hit the Brooklyn Bridge, I go, oh my gosh, it's going to be another Francis Scott Key Bridge moment, but it thankfully was not. But still, you had two fatalities, a bunch of people injured out there. Let's see the. Okay, I tell you what, we can get back to. I already got some questions coming in for next hour. Well, you can get those in, and they can stand by at the text line at 343-0106. This texter saying, "What museum was Todd talking about?" Oh, Todd Stacy. Okay, that story, and I've think I linked the story up. If I haven't, I will get it done by the end of the show. Up on our X feed at FM Talk 106.5. It is the Alabama, it's the state-run Alabama Music Hall of Fame. Okay, so you've got, you know, got a pretty deep history of musicians, right, in our state. Pretty cool thing, actually. It's up in Tuscumbia. But there's is it Pritchard water level? Maybe not. But it's pretty flagrant, and they did this audit of the Alabama Music Hall of Fame. They've returned, the auditors now have sent it to the Attorney General, said the recent audit of the state-run Alabama Music Hall of Fame found 29 significant issues with spending, including thousands spent on travel and meals, improperly awarded bonus, and other matters of non-compliance with state laws. Non-compliance is a nice way to say it when you read through this. Said that the museum's executive director, Sandra Burrows, was originally asked by the examiners of public accounts to repay $114,637. That amount was reduced to $64,719 after Burrows submitted additional information about expenditures. But it goes down and breaks down what things were bought on the credit card there for the Alabama Museum of Music Hall of Fame. So check that out. I put the story up. It is over on X at FM Talk 106.5. All right, coming back in just a few minutes, my buddy, Mayor of Dauphin Island, and the most Dauphin Island guy I know, Jeff Collier, joins us. Yeah.